We're definitely better looking.
Good idea. Yeah.
We have a quorum, so I'd like to call the meeting of the Higher Education and Career Readiness Policy and Finance Committee to order. Welcome, everybody. First, look at the minutes from yesterday, April the 10th, and I need a motion to approve. Do I hear a motion to approve?
Mr. Chair, someone.
Albright, rather. Albright.
Mr. Chair, I would move the minutes from April 10th.
Representative Albright moves the April 10th amendment. Anybody have any objections, corrections, any reasons why not? Then all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Minutes have been approved. Thank you very much. Members, we have just one item of business today, and Representative Pawlowski, would you like to, and he is prepared.
Can we take that as a threat?
Mr. Chair, members, I'm going to move House File 4234 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Higher Education Finance Committee. I believe that's where you would like it to go if the vote is positive on this. Is that correct?
You said Higher Education.
I'm sorry, Education Finance Committee.
Yeah, that would be appropriate if that's your wish.
So, Mr. Chair, the first thing I'm going to do with the bill is talk a little bit about the authors. This bill was put in, obviously, late in session. It was put in after there had been an approval of a three-year new chancellor who was the interim chancellor for the Minsky system. And with that level of stability, this is an idea that the authors of the bill have been considering for some time. So Representative Marquardt is a social studies teacher in Dilworth. He also teaches at least one adjunct faculty class in a two-year university. Representative Poppy is a counselor at Riverland Technical and Community College. And Representative Davids and I have worked on an array of educational issues from K-12 through technical college and higher ed with Winona State University and the Southeastern Technical College. So what does the bill do? The bill asks that Minn State produce a plan to go where they once were. And that is to provide technical college, vocational college education at the K-12 level. Before we had technical colleges, before we had Minsky, before we had Minn State, we had vocational schools that were linked to our K-12 system with the sole goal of providing a skill set for individuals who were graduating from our K-12 system so that they would have a skill upon graduation so that they can then be hired. So the overall goal of this bill is to return to that, to give every high school graduate in Minnesota the option of not just having a high school degree, but the option of having a skill set to say, upon graduation, I have a skill set and I can be hired in whatever area they would choose to do it, or whatever area is provided in their area with the technical college or whatever the entity is that we would call it if we're going to reform it. Mr. Chair, we are in a crisis situation and we've known about it for some time. When I was sitting where you were in 13 and 14, when I traveled to the technical schools, immediately an anomaly began to appear. What I got when I met with students and faculty were students moving the skill set of courses up front and anything that wasn't a skill set course to the second year. The minute they got the skill set, they take that, which is technically a report card, they'd go to an employer and say, here, the employer would say, fine, you've got the skills, we'll hire you. And that has continued right up to this time. But something else has happened. We are in desperate need of workers, skilled workers. We're trying to find ways to get these workers. And I think one of the ways is that 30 to 40% of high school students that don't go on to a four-year degree but graduate with a high school diploma but aren't prepared to have a skill set to go into the workforce. So the intent of this bill is to produce a plan. It's not mandating that we change anything, but to produce a plan. A plan that would say in those areas where we have the capacity to link, and even some areas where we don't because now we have 21st century technology, we should be able to give every high school student in Minnesota the option of saying, I'm just not going to graduate with a high school diploma. I'm going to graduate with a skill set. And that skill set has the possibility of getting me a job when I graduate from high school. And to that end, Mr. Chair, I passed out a handout. And you might wonder what the golden death mask of Tutankhamun has to do with this. And I'm going to draw your attention to the fact that the painting was done in 1983 by an 11th grade student named Tony Durant, who took my advanced world history class. And by his own admission in the letter, he was not a very good student. Tests and quizzes were not Tony's strong suit. But I was going past his desk, and I saw him working on a drafting portfolio. And I said, Tony, is this your work? And he said, yes. I said, did you do this freehand? He said, yes, but, you know, I've got the drafting class. And I said, well, if you want to do something for me, I think I have a project for you. So what he did, and you can see it on my wall, Mr. Chair, is the gold death mask of Tutankhamun. Now, in 1977, the treasures of Tutankhamun had traveled the United States. They'd been in Chicago. The gold death mask is there. In my world history classes, we studied not just history, but it was required that we study art, architecture, literature, music to those eras that had music, and the students had to identify. So, Mr. Chair, this became part of quizzes and tests. If the students could identify this, they would be asked how, and then why is it historically important? And I'll give you one example. Notice on the head or the crown of the desk mask, you have two objects, a vulture and a cobra. The students would have to tell me why there would be a vulture and a cobra on the head of Pharaoh. And it's because the vulture and the cobra were the symbol of Upper and Lower Egypt. Most of Egypt could not read, but these things were plastered all over the monuments. The minute you saw that, you saw the Pharaoh of the two lands. The cartouches on either side also, they would have to identify and tell the significance of them. So when he painted this for 29 years, it was a teaching tool. And if you read the letter, Mr. Chair, you'll find something else that's interesting. He snuck back into the high school when he heard I was retiring. And it was still on the wall, so he took a picture of it. Now, Tony has studios in New York and L.A. He's very well known and very well off. And if you read the letter, you will see that doing this project helped him not only go down a career path, but helped me have something I could use in my class. And it's because he took what we would normally call a vocational or a skilled class called drafting, and then, of course, later art. And by the way, for those of you that are concerned about the other objects in that picture, this is the left side of my classroom. That's the Democratic side. On the other side of the board would be the Republicans. And then on the side wall would be the independents, the county, the city, people who don't run with party designation.
I was so afraid to even bring that up.
I know you were. And I actually have set, I can send you the other side in the graphic, because I know Representative Albright might want to see that in case, and by the way, there's some collectible posters on that side also. So, Mr. Chair, I'm going to ask you to flip it up.
Okay.
This is a broader picture of that room, but up front you see two display cases. These were made in shop of plexiglass by students. They are covering models that were also made by students, but these aren't ordinary models. This isn't plastic. It's not styrofoam. These are paper models imported from France that have to be cut out of a book with razor blades and scored, and they're extremely delicate. Shark Cathedral, the larger of the two, took Andrew Polichek 6 months to put together. Mont Saint-Michel, the smaller, the much more delicate of the two, took 10 years. A succession of students did it. The display glass cases were made because they are so delicate that even walking past them continually and shaking the air disturbed the glue. So, Mr. Chair, again, students volunteering from classes that would be continually vocational classes, doing projects that I would use for decades, Mr. Chair. I'm going to ask you to flip one more time to the next one, and I think if I'm flipping this right, this should be Nefertiti next to a set of books?
Yes.
That bookcase was made by a student of mine whose father was the shop teacher for what we would have called woodwork. Mm-hmm. He was in my advanced classes. He took the design, and Webster and Albright would know this from Levenger's, where a certain journal that you're familiar with came from. Mm-hmm. And then he upscaled it a bit, and this holds my leather-bound volumes of Durant's Story of Civilization, which I used extensively in my classes, Henry Adams, Mont St. Michel and Chartres, and the Education of Henry Adams, and an array of other books.
Is that the top shelf?
The whole thing was made by him. Oh, it has coasters. It moves. This is of white oak. I would always pay for the materials. The students would do the work. But I want to illustrate this. When his father moved to the tech college, they then downsized the program. So the program, as you would see it to do this, no longer exists. If you flip it over one more time, my mother took drafting and art in high school, went on to senior high. She then went on to become an art music major. When I was in college in 1972, I was working on a project on the 18th dynasty, and I asked her if she could produce a bust of Nefertiti for me, and of course, what mother would not? So she produced this bust of Nefertiti. Now, this is about half size, and you notice that it's slightly different, but I will also give you this. Never argue with the artist. When they're going to do it, you just let them do it. So you notice in the original, one eye is missing. In hers, it's not. And then she crafted a different base and slightly different coloring. I would
call
use this.
Improvements.
Pardon?
I would call those improvements. Original.
I do not.
Oh, okay.
We had an interesting discussion on that, Mr. Okay. Chair, and she won.
All right.
So that's the other side of it. But this would also be used in my classroom for 37 years as part of my ancient history class in identifying who she is and why she's important and why this bust is important. So, Mr. Chair, I'm going to go to another series of pictures. My mother also painted, where my father was a golf pro, his favorite holes, and in this case he designed and built this course and I worked on it, and these would hang in the pro shop or they would hang upstairs. So my mother started as a high school student in art and drafting, became an artist, and then started producing works like this. And then I think, Mr. Chair, that is all I have for my displays, except for one other item, this one, Mr. Chair.
We're very curious about that one.
I was hoping you wouldn't be, because it exists carved between every window on the second and third floor of this building. It exists carved into the rostrum of the speaker's rostrum in the Minnesota House floor. It exists all over the inside of the House chamber, all over the Capitol, and it is made by my students in shop, and it is the power of Imperium. It's called the Fasces. It's the power to punish Elmraj, remember Christ being punished, the power to execute the axe, and wherever a praetor or a council would go, there would be a person carrying this in front of them so that everybody would know that person has the power to punish, that person has the power to execute, the power of Imperium under the Roman Republic. And my students thought we should have one in class. So they made one. Now it's wood because we can't have weapons in school anymore. But I also want to, I know we're going to have some people testify against
it.
We
never did allow an axe in school. I was never.
Mr. Chair, it depends on your principal.
I suppose.
Mr. Chair, we're going to have some people testify against this, so I'm going to leave it here just as a reminder of the power of the legislature while they're testifying against the bill.
Right.
It's meant to be a joke, but they're not laughing. So, Mr. Chair, with that, I'm going to wind it up this way. The intent of this bill is to explore the option of giving every Minnesota high school graduate not just a high school degree, but the ability to choose the skill set when they graduate that has the potential of getting them a job. Now I'm going to go a step further, Mr. Chair. I think a high school senior that graduates that can be employed is likely someone we're going to keep in our areas, particularly in greater Minnesota, and more likely we're going to keep them in Minnesota. So, Mr. Chair, I think the bill is going back to where we once were with vocational colleges, and I think it's where we need to return to establish skill learning at the high schools in the state of Minnesota. And that's the intent of the bill, Mr. Chair, and this is to produce a plan. So,
all right.
I'm open for...
Thank you much, and that's the purpose of our hearing today. Your idea gets us all thinking about maybe there is a better way, and maybe it was the old way. But I think that it's worth discussing, and I appreciate you bringing it to us.
And Mr. Chair, I would only add this. The intent of the bill, too, would be to consider it in a full budget year, not in a supplemental year. I know the bill says 2019, but the bill was floated once I understood we would have a chancellor that would be here over 3 years, and there would be some stability inside the Minn-State system, because that would be the system that would be the primary responsibility, but certainly the school districts would have to be involved also.
All right. Representative Albright. Bert. Okay. Representative Albright, you're second. Can you wait a minute? Sorry about that. Representative Schultz, you're first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry to walk in late, but can you just describe, I know this is a bill to put together a plan, but what's your vision? So would we be closing some facilities and transferring it to the high school, the programs within the high school facility? Would any costs be borne by the school districts? Would we need state funding for that? Can you just kind of elaborate more on what your vision would be?
Mr. Chair, I don't see this as closing anything. Representative Schultz, I see this as sharing resources. We have declining enrollment in both systems. Both systems. We have underutilized facilities in both systems. And in one, and particularly the Tech College, we have facilities that are far superior to what's going on right now in our high schools. For those of you that have seen the evolution of vocational training in the high schools over the last years, you've seen a dilution. It's been a dilution, and you're almost at a point where all of the things that once existed in the high schools no longer exist for hands-on learning. Now, that is different in some of the metropolitan areas where they have resources, but in greater Minnesota, it is not. But yet in greater Minnesota is where we have tech colleges, and those technical colleges should be able to share those resources. So I don't see this as eliminating anything. I see it as simultaneously enhancing both and providing a new way of training young people in the 21st century.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what's preventing that from happening right now? Because they can go, while they're a high school student, they can take PSEO courses in the technical colleges over the 4 years. Are you saying that you want to bring those on to the campus of the high school or make it easier for them to enroll in those courses concurrently while they're a high school student?
Mr. Chair, Representative Schultz, yes. And what's preventing it? What's preventing it is what's prevented a lot of things from happening in education. For the last few years, higher education has had charting the future under the previous chancellor. They haven't charted much of a future, but they've spent a lot of money. I would like to see this as charting the present so we can have a better future. I think you have to look at what are the needs right now in Minnesota, and those needs are going to be with us for a great period of time. When we moved the vocational schools away from the school districts, the intent was never to say, strip the schools of all vocational learning. And yet, that's been practically the result of doing it. We need to reform what we've done with this system. Technical colleges need to return to where they were, and that's hands-on learning to provide a skill set and to give young people an opportunity to have that skill set to get employed and to solve a problem we have with employment. We are in dire need of employees across the state with skill sets. So that's the intent, not to close anything, not to have anybody lose a job. And I would hope in the long run we might see the opposite. If we had teachers who could move from the high schools to the tech colleges when this was formed, what's the problem with doing the reverse now?
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Pulaski, I applaud you for this initiative. I just sent a message to your office asking that my name be added as a co-author, and I look forward to partnering with you on this. I am of an age and a generation where we did have a technical opportunity within the high school, and I can tell you that as I look back on that, the unfortunate circumstance is that graduates of high school now are graduating without a skill set and then looking at how they're going to pay for additional education. If you send them off after graduating with a diploma from high school with a skill set, they have the opportunity to work while they go to school, not go to school to then learn how to work. And so I think in this day and age, the old, in my opinion, is better than what it has gone to, particularly in light of not only the trades and some of the skills, skilled labor and skilled job sets that we know exist, but I think it also is very, very well suited for where the new technologies and the new industries that we know are on the horizon or can not even imagine, they're very well prepared to be implemented at the high school level rather than at the college level where, in my opinion, to your point, we moved them to the technical colleges, we can move them back and give them a skill set that they can rely upon and fall back on when times are tough. So I applaud the initiative.
The question I've got, Representative Pulaski, has to do with, again, greater Minnesota, where I live in particular. We have some high schools where, and school districts where this might work really well. There's some small school districts, though, that do not have the capacity or the room or anything to really take advantage of this concept. So they will just be kind of out of luck, or how do you...
They're out of luck now because they're probably too far away for PSEO or anything else to travel.
True.
We also have the ability to some extent to do this over, you know, the internet, but some of this obviously cannot because it has to be hands-on. I'm going to propose this. We bus students all over. We bus them to every type of sports activity you can imagine. We bus them all over our school district. I don't see why there would be a problem with busing them occasionally to a course that they could take to provide a skill set.
Right.
I think those resources should be used for that also, too, Mr. Chair.
I do have a small school in my district that I admire because they build a house every school year. The students build a house. Not a big one. Nice starter house, cabin, whatever you want to call it. But it has all of the necessary parts of it that allow you to build a bigger house. And I think that's something that they have taken on as an expense, and those students are out there building houses after they graduate. So I think it's kind of what you're getting at, I think, but it's only one example of one school. Representative Robert, did you have another?
Well, I just wanted to reiterate what Representative Pulaski said. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And being from southern Minnesota, grew up in Mapleton, Minnesota. And we didn't have the technical skill set there. We had it in Minnesota Lake. And so at 10 o'clock every morning, those students that wanted to participate in the trades got on a bus and went to Minnesota Lake, and they were back at 12:30. And so the ability for schools and school districts to coordinate for busing and for transportation logistics to get the job done, it's already a pattern that is known to these school districts. It can be implemented again.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to add one other thing. We have had chambers of commerce in greater Minnesota really fight to provide some type of skill set learning. I know they've done it in my year, I bet they've done it in yours too, but it's to a very narrow group of students, and it's a very narrow range. And they always are very pleased when they can do it. The shame of it is we've got students, maybe 30 to 40%, that aren't going to college. Those students should have the opportunity to say somewhere in high school, I would like to get that skill set in high school, so when I graduate, I can go into the workforce. Maybe they will go on to some other type of higher education, but the skill set is what's needed, Mr. Chair, and it's needed desperately now.
Oh, I absolutely agree. In the K-12 finance, we had I forget which school district was testifying, but they're trying to have programs on Saturday, so their welding programs and so forth can be held on a day when they're not conflicting with all the other, you know, scheduled classes. And there you run into a problem again. How we fund things makes that almost an impossible thing, but it's a good idea. So,
Mr. Chair, I taught the advanced classes for 37 years. I had advanced juniors and seniors. They were always coming to me, can I do a project? And, of course, the most unique one was Tony Durant because he became something extremely special. But they all wanted to do something. And slowly the opportunities went away. The equipment, by the way, that was once at the high school has been sold. So it's gone. And that was equipment that was one of a kind. That would have lasted 100 years. I think the businesses are ready to come back and reinvest, and I think they will reinvest if we say we're interested in providing them with employees mm-hmm. and skilled employees. Mm-hmm. So, and I think it goes at both levels, the technical college and K-12.
Representative Heisman, where did you get your training? I mean, you're a guy of, you master a lot of different skills. I shouldn't ask that question. I'm just curious.
No, that's...
Go ahead and ask your question first, and then we'll get into your...
I had no formal training in political science, unfortunately, but right. Here we are.
This is on the job training. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Pawlowski, I have a feeling that if I had... been one of your students, which I think I'm young enough, I might have been able to be in your class. I probably would have been one of those guys that might not have risen to the level of the gentleman that you were mentioning earlier, but I think I would have really appreciated your class. And I find myself appreciating the spirit of what you're trying to get at and the point that you're trying to make, and at the same time aligning more closely with Representative Schultz's comments, which is kind of a little bit odd. But that's okay, because I happen to be a student that came through, and in my junior and senior year, was a full-time student at the Central Lakes College, a PSEO student, and I took advantage of every extra credit that I could find. I took the welding classes, the automotive classes, the intro to electronics classes, anything that I could get as an elective, life skills, anything that I couldn't necessarily get at home. And I think you're absolutely right that in so many campuses around the state of Minnesota, kids aren't taking advantage, number one, of the taking that dual credit on a technical college campus, and two, that opportunity, as you suggested, is clearly lost on most high school campuses. I'm not necessarily sure how to fix that. I know in my own situation, I would like to see more people or more kids aware of their opportunity as a junior and senior to get dual credit, but that's not happening for some reason. But I'm thinking of kids like, for example, in Aiken County, and I don't know how PSEO could benefit them. They're 80 miles or 60 miles away from a technical college campus. So there's got to be something in there somewhere to provide that resource for access and allowing kids to have better information when it comes to making a choice during their junior and senior year.
Mr. Chair. Representative Heisman. I'm not sure how it would work either, but I know it's got to work better than what we're doing now. There has to be a way in our high schools, and there was once a way, to say you have the option of getting a skill set. And there, that option is parallel to your diploma. And now we're in desperate straits, and we really do need those employees, and we need the skill sets. So I'm not sure, but this is a bill for a plan. Could higher ed once plan something that would be functional? I know it's a terribly high bar, but could they plan something that would be functional, that would work, that would enhance both systems simultaneously? And I think it's got to happen. It's got to happen to save both systems, actually, Mr. Chair, because the declining enrollment isn't going to go away. So we need to share resources to the best of our ability, and simultaneously we need to provide the best education and training to the best of our ability. I don't know what the plan would be, but these are the smartest people in Minnesota, I'm told. I think they can come up with some.
Representative Whelan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Pawlowski. I also applaud your efforts on this bill, and I think the intent is wonderful. I just have a quick clarification question, and maybe it was already addressed, but you mentioned a couple times before we have the current system, the equipment needed was in the high schools. Was equipment also, or were there also technical college campuses that were outside of the high school off campus, and how would that process work now? And I'm just thinking also of there are people, individuals who, you know, if they are out of high school, you know, 19, 20, et cetera, that want to get a technical skill, what would that interaction look like?
Mr. Chair, most of them were off the high schools. You know, Winona's an example. The vocational school was about a mile away, but you had shared faculty that went over. That was never an issue or a problem. I know in Red Wing, it's literally across the street or across the highway from Red Wing High School. I mean, so there are. Yeah, they were never, some were attached to the school, some were not. So that was not an issue, ever. That they, there was a distance or a separate facility.
Representative Whalen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative. That was my understanding, so thank you for that clarification. And then, and maybe this would be part of the plan that would be developed, so maybe there's no answer to it at this point, but with regard to other students, so my understanding is it, you could still continue as we are, people that, you know, are mid-career and want to go back and get a technical degree would be able to do that. And
Mr. Chair, there's no intent in this bill to disrupt any of that. The intent of the bill is to ensure that high school students have a career path choice. That's the intent of the bill. It's not to disrupt anything else that's going on. Maybe it would enhance it if the business community would come along and say, you know, this is working. What do you need? And I think there are businesses, I know there are businesses in my community that would say it. If they knew they were going to get a trained employee out of it, they'd do it.
Representative Whalen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative. And just a final comment. Again, I love the intent of the bill. My district right now has a really great working relationship between our high school and our technical college. There's a pretty steady stream of students that actually are attending a lot of the classes at the technical college, but I know that's unique throughout the state. And so I'm not sure if Minsky could maybe look at that as there. Hopefully, I hope that your bill does pass and we can work on this plan.
Mr. Chair, if Representative Marquardt were here, he'd tell a story about a business in his community that now does $35 million, I believe, a year in business, and it's impressing T-shirts and other things on polo shirts. It started with two guys in a basement using secondhand stoves and baking these things on. They now have 30 artists, graphic artists employed, and they need more. That's why I hit the art part of this. In our world of the 21st century, nothing happens with, you don't create a website unless you have art. You don't create anything unless you can use those graphics appropriately and well. So art is part of this and how you manipulate that technology to the best world. And I grew up in a home that had art. It was a different type of art, mainly oil and watercolor and occasionally a plaster bust of Nefertiti. But still, we had art and I would use that art over the course of my teaching career. So when I look at Representative Marquardt, that's why he signed on. He said, every time I visit that business, they say, we need more. We need more employees. And there's got to be a way to get it.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we've changed education since I've went to school and you've went to school and maybe even your teaching career, where my son, who's in third grade, only every 8 days may get an art class or a music class or physical education. And so if we emphasize some skills like becoming a graphic designer or an artist, I think we should revisit what we're doing in K through 12, all the way down to early ed and K. And the other barrier is that we've changed the expectations of what happens in the at the high school level and the testing and the requirements that need to be fulfilled and the pressure to go to the advice to go to a four-year and the courses that they need to get there. But I think at the federal level, we need to revisit our policies on what's expected in terms of testing and implementing policies where we're looking at the whole picture of not the four-year track, but a two-year track or skills and emphasizing the importance of those skills as well. But there might be a lot of barriers to having a great plan but not being able to implement it because the schools don't have the time periods or the resources or the ability because they're being tested and evaluated on outcomes to put in more skills types courses that aren't seem to be valued by those in the Department of Education in terms of their outcomes. So I think this is going to be a good discussion of having this planning idea, but I think it's going to get pretty complicated and much more broad than what Minnesota can do if we have other federal constraints.
Mr. Chair, I'm always marveling over the fact that when we create something, we can never uncreate it. That even though it might not be working well, we're going to stick with it, you know, right to the end. And I know that's not your point. the intent when we elevated the vocational schools to technical colleges was not to strip the K-12 system of hands-on learning. That was not the intent, and yet that is the result. So there's got to be a way to restore. I don't know what the plan is, but there's got to be a way to restore it so that those students have the option, that 30 to 40% of graduating with a skill set that's employable, particularly now. So, Mr. Chair, it's a bill to produce a plan, and let's hope that they can do it. But all the rest of that is out of our control to some extent. But what is in our control, we did this, we can undo it and go down a different path.
Representative Heitzman, do you have another question?
Yeah, I was going to follow up my question earlier, Mr. Chair, with a question specifically about the bill, line 1.7, because we have talked about the plan a number of times here, and I think Representative Albright, you had saw some things there that was drawing you towards cooperating, and one of the reasons I would have an issue personally with moving that direction myself is I'm concerned because the plan here is to transfer the technical colleges from the Minnesota State and college universities to entities in the K through 12 system. Now, if I'm not mistaken, K through 12, if they wanted, they could hire shop school teachers and create programs to bring trades into the K through 12 system currently. But in most cases, they're either eliminating or not planning for those kinds of opportunities today. So from my perspective, you know, and maybe I am not looking broadly enough, and you could maybe put a little light on this, Representative Pulaski, but if they've already, in the K through 12 system, essentially killed the trades, why would we ask them to take over the trades or take it out of the MnState system?
Mr. Chair, because the MnState system isn't satisfying the need that exists now, and because where once there were the once there was the ability of a high school student to develop that skill set, it's gone. And we need to restore it as part of our K-12 system. Mr. Chair, I would look at this language with a great deal of flexibility. There's nothing hard and fast about this. They can take a look at it and come back to us and find out what's practicable. And I would hope that they would. But the goal is to say that when a high school student is going through high school, they would have an option to develop a skill set simultaneously with that high school degree, and when they graduate, they would then have the skill set that would make them employable. That's the overall intent. So I would take all of this language with a great deal of flexibility and see what the plan is that they come back
with. We do have a few in the audience, maybe they would like to join in the conversation if they're willing and interested. If not, that's fine. But I was going to say, I've got a community in my district that has such a need. They all have needs for jobs. They have jobs and don't have the employees. I get it right here. They're actually, part of my bonding request this year to the state is to allow them to build their own training center. So they would be actually training the employees they need in that community. They're that desperate. They can't wait for 2 years. They can't wait for the state. They want to move ahead. And
Mr. Chair, and I've had similar things with not only individuals in my community, but former students. Some of my students were very smart, Mr. Chair. They were very bright. And instead of taking on 4 years of debt, they decided to cherry-pick courses at the tech college and at four-year institutions. And then once they got the skill set, they just posted their resume on monster.com, and suddenly they started to get jobs. Now, I thought that was very good until I saw what they were being paid. They were being paid about twice what a teacher was being paid, and yet they had no degree. They had simply picked what they knew the employer wanted, and then the employer came to them. This is a new universe, Mr. Chair, mm-hmm. of employees and of a workforce. And it exists not just in our communities, it exists all over. And the other interesting part of this is the skill set's movable. Right. So if they want to go somewhere else, the skill set goes with them, and the employer says, if you're that good at that, and many of these students have been hired from other companies, and again, I am just amazed at the salaries. I applaud them for doing it, but I don't know why I got a four-year degree to get paid what I got.
And that is the challenge of higher education. You spelled it out very clearly. Representative Haley has a question.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Polsky, for bringing this forward. I share your passion and your excitement about the possibility, and I agree with all your assumptions on the skills gap and our you know, what we need to do to meet our workforce needs. I believe sometimes that, to your last point, the disruption needs to come from outside the system. We need that in healthcare. I think we need that in education. I don't know if kind of putting the system back together like it used to be is the right solution, but I like your intent of we need something new and something different, and I'd be very willing to partner with you and work on it and see where this heads. But maybe some of the things that get in the way, I think our bureaucracy, our licensing requirements, our credit requirements, our funding streams. So my concern about sort of combining them back together, we still have all those barriers that are stopping us today, and we need to figure out getting rid of those. You know, maybe there's other ideas out there. I toured some systems this summer. I went to Alexandria. I went to Hutchinson. I was specifically looking for where are our high schools and our technical colleges working together and doing what you want and what I want and what Representative Albright wants. Where are they meeting kids' needs and providing skills and producing the next workforce? So maybe it's incenting the current schools that have said, let's get rid of these barriers and let's figure out how to best meet the needs of kids. I grew up in an education environment. My father taught business classes and started what was called DECA back in the day, and you know, took kids out to give them business experience while they were in high school. My mom started the technical program at the college that's right across the street in ag banking back in the day. So I grew up in this, and I believe in it, and we need it ever more right now for our state and our kids. So as I said, willing to work with you and see what can happen.
My wife worked with special education students, and one of her students had cerebral palsy. He had trouble learning, plus he had a physical problem too. And I was telling some students yesterday the story. I learned to read about in fourth grade, maybe, started to comprehend what that was all about. He's been out of school a number of years now. You'd be surprised to know that he works at the Grant County Library in Elba Lake, Minnesota. That's where he's been. Very independent. So he winds up in a library where at one time reading was not even something they thought he could do. So,
Mr. Chair, I told you yesterday I met with the high school pages, and I do every week on Tuesday. Last year, a group of high school pages came in. This is bolted outside my door, and it's bolted because I don't want it to walk away. And two of the boys in the 11th grade group said, you know, you really think you should have an axe bolted outside your door? Well, there is a description of what the fasces is and the power of Imperium. And so this was a Tuesday, and I said, you were on the House floor yesterday, and they said yes. And I said, well, what were you sitting in front of? And they said, well, what do you mean? I said, when you're on that bench, what's right in back of you? I said, there's a whole lineup of these. And I said, when you look up at the ceiling, what's painted on the ceiling? What's painted on the walls? So when they went back to session later in the week, and I think that was probably a Thursday, they started counting the number of these things that are in the Capitol, and they couldn't count them all. So when I talk about how important it is for hands-on learning and learning what something is, I mean, when you can get an 11th grader to start counting facetas in the Capitol, again, we're, and it's something that my students created, I think we're doing all right.
Thank you. Again, I'll offer if there's anyone in the audience who would like to add to the conversation, for or against, just feel welcome to come down if you so wish. And good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon.
State your name, please.
My name is Mary Falk, F-A-L-K. Thank you, Chair Norns and committee. My name is Mary Falk. I represent AFSCME Council 5 and Local 4001. I've worked at Anoka Technical College for well over 23 years. So I was there when we were part of the school district before we became MNSCU. Anoka Tech works very well with our school district. We have the STEP, the Secondary Technical Education Program, on our campus, as well as an alternative high school. This relationship is very beneficial to the students, to the district, to our college, and the community, and our workers. Having said that, we believe moving to the school district would further emphasize the perception that technical colleges are glorified high schools, which is just simply not true. We serve a real need in our communities. The technical college has different accreditations than the school district, and it is important that we meet those higher standards. This is important because even though technical colleges focus on workforce, they still deliver Minnesota transfer courses that allow our students to transfer to other institutions to further their education. Students of all ages deserve the freedom to achieve whatever level of education they wish. That is only possible with the proper accreditations so that they can have the transfers. We have a favorable articulation agreements with Minnesota State Universities. For example, our 2+2 degrees in many of our programs with Bemidji State University. Funding does need to be strengthened for technical colleges. Technical education is more expensive to deliver. It is hands-on and requires smaller class sizes. This is critical in teaching our technical programs and providing students with what they need to get good jobs. And I would have to say, after listening to some of this, it's also true of our high schools. We can have that some of those technical education things, the skill sets, at the high school if the high schools are funded properly. But we do not want to go backward from our technical college. And I will add, Anoka Technical College numbers are up. We aren't declining. Our numbers are up. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. I've actually visited your campus, the tech school and the high school and the alternative school, and it seems to be working quite well.
It's a wonderful place. Okay. I'm very passionate about that college. And
I think that's kind of cutting some new. The alternative school, it's, that part of it's fairly new, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, we've had the alternative high school on our campus for 2 years, maybe a little more. Okay. So, and it's working out very well.
Any questions for members, Ms. Falk? Otherwise, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else care to add a little to our conversation? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Chair Nornes, for the record, my name is Ron Anderson, and I serve as the Senior Vice Chancellor for Academic and Student Affairs with the Minnesota State System. With me today is Geraldine Jargo, who is the System Director for Career and Technical Education with Minnesota State, and who also serves as the State Director for Career and Technical Education, working closely with the Minnesota Department of Education and our K-12 partners. I want to thank you, Representative Pawlowski, for bringing this issue forward and for allowing us to be part of the conversation today. I know that this committee is well aware of the need for technical education across the state. Employers with whom our colleges work closely have made that clear. They need more workers with the right skills to fill both their current and their emerging and future needs. What they have also made clear is that the acceleration of those skills has changed dramatically over the years. No longer can employers be content with the initial training and skill sets workers bring as they enter the workforce. Our job at Minnesota State is to be the education provider that addresses not only those initial skills, but also provides educational pathways to serve Minnesotans throughout their entire career journey, to provide that lifelong learning opportunity and re-careering and retooling opportunities. Prior to assuming the role of Senior Vice Chancellor, I served for 9 years at Century College, the last four of which I was their president. Century College is one of Minnesota State's largest comprehensive community technical college, providing both technical, career technical, and transfer education. And I know that many of you over the years have had the opportunity to visit the college, and in particular to tour Century's digital fabrication lab. That is an example not only of the value of firsthand pause there, excuse me, that shows not only the value of the close employer relationships that actually brought that lab into existence and sustain it, but also the close partnerships that it supports and enhances with our local K-12 school districts. This is just one of the very many ways in which our colleges connect with, support, and are supported by business and industry. And as we think about the future, it's critical that we protect the synergies that have been created through these partnerships and that we nurture the synergies that continue to emerge throughout our work together. We'd also like to reiterate our support for the PSEO programming as it was discussed earlier today as it relates to career technical education. Our partnerships with K-12 career tech centers, such as the inter-district career tech center that was housed at Century College, as well as a number of other centers across the state, and our ongoing commitment to leveraging the Workforce Development Scholarship that was created last session. As I work closely with our college presidents, provosts, deans, and faculty, I'd like you to know that career technical education is in the forefront of their minds. They understand the responsibility that they have to their local communities, to employers and the students, to bring together the appropriate technical skills with the broader communication, teamwork, and other foundational skills needed to prepare students for a lifetime of career opportunities that span beyond their initial entry into the workforce. And Mr. Chair, if I may, I would like to pass the microphone over to Director Jargo to share a bit of her perspective as someone who works directly with our career technical education.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I also have a handout, if that's possible, and if I could.
If someone that can do that.
I love the conversation. I am the State Director of Career and Technical Education, and that's a title that comes through the federal Perkins funding. We certainly, with the Perkins funding, are a small part of all the resources that go into career and technical education. On the two-year side, we are about 2% of the full budget that goes to career and technical. The Perkins grant, though, provides infrastructure that directly links secondary and post-secondary. And again, thank you for bringing this conversation ahead. So, and this is the part where you have to participate. So if you look at the back side of the handout, there's a map on it. And for the administration of this work, we distribute resources through a consortium. And a consortium must have a minimum of 1 2-year institution and 1 high school district. So that gives you an infrastructure and requires, in a good way, that you have conversations before you utilize resources. And the purpose of Perkins is to enhance and support quality career and technical programming. So I could give you many examples. STEP in Anoka, CTEC at Rochester, Great River Intermediate, what's happening at Century College. Those are pockets of excellence that are happening everywhere. I love the conversation because you've identified the barriers that we work with every day, and we're moving towards some solutions. If we look at Northwest Minnesota, where kids are on the bus for 85 minutes to get to school, and we know they want skills training, we've put in mobile labs. So the lab and the instructor goes to the high school or the students. In Southwest Minnesota, they are really pushing boundaries on traditional scheduling. So we have kids that are doing nursing assistant and welding sometimes with adult students, and they're doing them as an evening program or a Saturday program, again, to maximize and utilize resources, both K-12 and beyond. I personally have a lot invested in career and technical education. One of the things that I watched with concern was the demise of the technical programs in K-12. You know, we experienced a decade of No Child Left Behind, and the emphasis totally shifted away from what we would refer to as vocational or that skills training and went to more test scores. It took the math and reading skills. In some cases, that was applied math. Think about what you could teach in math if you're teaching CAD or drawing or I could go on. The physics that you could teach in an ag class, that was stripped out, and we purely went for math and reading in very tight containers so that kids could get scores. So the value of career and technical became a different value. than it was when it could be integrated. I'm trying to be politically correct as I say this. Anyway, it did a disservice. And a lot of the K-12 programs, the students, because of scheduling and other concerns, didn't take those courses. If there are labs that have to be maintained, equipment that has to be maintained or updated, and the resources weren't there, the resources went in another way. So really, thank you for having the conversation. Do we need the right skills at the right time for the right people? Absolutely. I'm not going to pretend to say I have an answer. Certainly there's things that we can look at and study. There are phenomenal things happening everywhere in the state. There are partnerships that are, I don't know all of you, I probably could do one for everyone in here. It's not a one-size-fits-all. What's going to work in Thief River Falls when we're busing is going to be very different than what's going to happen for urban agriculture in St. Paul. So thank you for having the discussion. Again, I'm just excited that many of the barriers and some of the solutions were all part of the discussion already. Thank you very much, and I will pass it back to Ron Anderson.
Great. So, Mr. Chair, we remain mindful that this conversation must begin with a discussion about what's best for our students and what's best for business and industry employers in our local communities and the citizens of Minnesota. And we want you to know that we at Minnesota State, in conjunction with the Department of Education, will be committed to having that further conversation.
Okay. Thank you very much. There are here no questions, so you can go back into the good seats, and then we have one other testifier, I think, who wants to have some comments.
Hi, Mark Hughes, and believe it or not, when I'm not here, I'm part of a couple construction companies in town. So I think I can speak firsthand in that when the recession was on 3-4 years ago, construction wasn't so good here in town. And there was plenty of people to hire. Matter of fact, if you look at electrician status, there were 600 on the bench that usually drove from here to Iowa to get work and left on Sunday afternoon and come back on Thursday night. Now, construction's pretty good here, so when the Viking Stadium was built, you couldn't get very much concrete. Now, we can't hire too many good people as we could. And so, in closing, I would be in favor of this bill because if you take the Voc Rehab programs, and not to upset Anoka Community College, that's a good school too, but if you put the Voc Rehab programs back in high schools, the kids could still be going to high school and get an accredited credit for taking these trades programs and going on for their education and learning their work skills and going on to work. So I would be very much in favor of this bill, and I hope it passes. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for your testimony. I was just, Pawlowski, welcome back. I was just thinking it wasn't that many years ago when I sat on a committee where there was some, I don't remember the union, but they were actually telling Minsky at that time to stop training, and I forget whether it was electricians or plumbers or something, but they were actually begging, would you stop training these people? We have too many. Now we've gone around the other way where we don't hear that anymore. So, Representative Pawlowski, in the interest of time, if you have anything more to add.
Mr. Chair, just to reemphasize that the intent of this bill is to provide Minnesota high school students with the option of having a career path that would allow them to have a skill set upon graduation that would hopefully make them employable. And I would take all of the language in this bill with a great deal of flexibility.
Question I've got, you made a motion at the beginning of the hearing. Would you want to?
I renew my motion that House File 4234 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Education Finance Committee, Mr. Chair.
All right, that's the motion. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Oops. Anybody against? It gets two taps. Passes on to Finance. Thank you very much. All right. Members, any announcements? Walk the 21st of April. You're all welcome to come with. Other than that, we are adjourned. Thank you.